What kind of witness is your life? Paul, writing to the Corinthians, described them in the following way. You are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. What kind of letter is your life? What kind of letter is read and known by those around you? What is the message that others are receiving through your life?
Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. This is Thoroughly Equipped, drawing water from the wells of salvation, a weekly study of the Bible with Pastor Wojtek from Rehoboth Reformed Church in La Habra. During the next 30 minutes, we'll bring you solid, in-depth biblical teaching from Scripture and provide you training in how you can get the most from personal and family Bible study. We invite you to get a copy of today's teaching outline by logging on to tefaith.org. TEFaith is short for Thoroughly Equipped Faith. Again, that's tefaith.org. Then open your Bible and study along with Pastor Mike. Also, if you'd like to stay up to date on Thoroughly Equipped events, sign up for our periodic email newsletter, Wells of Salvation. You'll get articles, resource information, a note from Pastor Mike, information about Rehoboth Reformed Church in La Habra, including our address and service times, and news about any upcoming events. It's very informative. To get our email newsletter, just log on to tefaith.org. That's thoroughlyequippedfaith.org. Now here's Pastor Mike.
Welcome to Thoroughly Equipped. Today we will continue in our study in the book of Jonah. And so if you have your Bibles, if you will please turn with them to Jonah chapter 1. And I've asked David to go ahead and read. David, welcome again to the studio.
Thank you.
So go ahead, and I think it would be best if you just go ahead and pick up. We left off in verse 5. So why don't you go ahead and back up to verse 4 of chapter 1 and read through verse 10.
But the Lord sent a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried each to his own God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said, every one to his fellow, Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. And they said unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause is this evil come upon us? What is your occupation? From where do you come? What is your country? And of what people are you? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why have you done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them.
Very good. Thank you, Dave. So last week we looked at verses 3 through 5, and what we found was the response of Jonah. And again, one of the things that we try to keep in mind is the original audience and the message to the original audience before we begin to look at how does this apply to me. And in particular, since we're talking about Bible study methods, I think one of the Bible study methods that we should focus in on today from this text is, what does this passage teach me about myself? And so we've talked about in the past the idea of asking the question, what does this teach me about God? But I think also we should, whenever we open our Bibles and we're reading, should also ask, what does God want me to learn about myself? What is What is my heart? And I think to some degree even that's a good place to start. What does my heart say? What is to speak to my heart? How is it that I reflect? This particular passage is a narrative. It's about the life of Jonah and others around him. And so in a narrative, in what ways do I identify with Jonah? Am I different than Jonah? What exactly is, what is God saying to me? And so today, as we consider this text, let's keep that in mind. So back to what we looked at last week, we were surprised. And again, one of the key words for the book of Jonah is surprise. And we were surprised, or the original audience was surprised by Jonah's reaction. Here's a call of God, and Jonah runs the opposite direction. And then we see that the Lord doesn't let Jonah get away with it. And we, in verse 4, we found that God had hurled a great storm upon the sea and the storm that came up. And then we noted the sailors in verse 5 and their reaction. And David, if you remember, what did we say about those sailors, their reaction in verse 5? How would that be a surprise to the original audience?
Well, since this is not a Hebrew class, I can't really say what the Hebrew words are. But the meaning behind the word is that they're crying out is the idea of a pious person crying out unto God.
Okay. But in the context, these are probably not believers.
No.
But yet they are responding to a situation the way a believer should respond.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very good. And they're doing everything in their power to also address the situation and try to deal with it, but they are overwhelmed by it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we came to that point now where we're picking up in verse 6, and in it we see the approach of the shipmaster or the captain of the ship. I don't know, however you want to describe it. Now he approaches Jonah, and remember, where's Jonah at this time?
He's sleeping at the very bottoms of the ship.
Okay, he's down with the cargo. He's down at the bottom. And so the captain comes to him and wakes him out of a sleep. And what I find interesting is the first words that Jonah hears besides, "What do you think you're doing sleeping?" It doesn't say at a time like this, but that's kind of the impression. But then he says, "Arise, call on your God." And those two words, arise and call, are the two words, two of the three commands that God had given Jonah: get up, arise, and cry out or call. And so in his waking moment, all of a sudden, this man of authority is calling him to do basically what God had called him to do. Yes.
Would you say that this is a rebuke to Jonah?
Most definitely. And then secondly, notice he says, perhaps God will hear or consider us or listen, and that's actually a very rare word, it's only used twice in the Bible, that we do not perish. And so it seems that the captain is a God-fearer, at least he acknowledges, and I wanted to talk about that for a minute. When we approach the Bible, I don't know if we've talked about this before, about worldviews, have we, in the program?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. We live in 21st century America, we live in a closed system worldview. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, it's the idea of everything that is, there's a closed system. In other words, most people are operating with the idea that God is outside the box, outside of the universe, and everything, if there is a God, he's not involved, or the system operates on its own, almost the idea of a mechanistic kind of a world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of an assumption that everybody kind of operates around. Christians, we challenge that because we believe in a supernatural world and life view. We look at the world, we look at everything. I almost describe it as an open box. In other words, it's a box, and the box is the universe, but there's an opening, and that opening is God's involvement. And so when we go to the Bible, Old or New Testament, and when we even look at these pagan sailors, the captain, the worldview of both the believers, or Israel, or the people of God, and even unbelievers at the day, was a supernatural worldview.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, when something goes bump in the night, the first question is, I wonder who did that. In other words, rather than, I wonder what caused that to happen. And sometimes we have to stop and remember that, that not only the, in the Bible, that's the thinking, but I think that that is the correct way to look at things. I think that the Bible is renewing our mind to be able to think properly. Okay, with that in mind, the captain approaches Jonah and wakes him out of a sleep. And then we turn to the next verse, we find that each of the sailors talks to his neighbor or his companion or his mate and says, come and let us cast lots in order that we may know on whose account this great evil, or this evil, it doesn't have great, this evil has come upon us. And so, again, you see that supernatural perspective,
mm-hmm.
right? They would be called superstitious
yeah.
today. But in that sense, it's that understanding, that worldview, that things happen because God or the gods cause them to happen. Yes.
And in response to that, they say, for whose cause this evil is upon us. They know that there, at least a god is angry at somebody, whoever it is.
Right.
So they want to find out who.
And I think one of the reasons also is they understand this is an extraordinary event.
Yes.
This isn't just a normal storm.
It's a hurricane.
Yeah, this is a hurricane. This is something that came out of nowhere, and it's frightening them. And that's what we find as we go along. We see their reaction to the storm and everything. And so we go on, and it says that they cast the lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. And so they interpret that as what? They interpret that as God is pointing out, or the
Jonah
God.
Jonah is at fault.
Jonah is the person, and but they don't know why. So then they say to him, please report to us, on whose account, again, on whose account this trouble, this calamity, this problem, and then they begin to ask him a series of questions. What is your occupation? From where do you come from? What is your land? And what is your people? Now, what are they trying to do in asking those questions?
Well, in one sense, they're trying to figure out what God is upset at Jonah.
Okay, so number one, they're trying to understand who's the God who's involved here.
Mm-hmm.
And then what about occupation?
Well, they want to know what he does and see if he was disobedient in whatever that was in God, and whatever God is punishing him for his disobedience.
Okay, so is he a killer? Is he running from his crime? Or is he's a bad guy in a sense? What
yeah.
exactly has...
What if?
Yeah, what if? What has he done? And then also, again, I think what you said about getting to know which God it is, by knowing which land and which people,
mm-hmm.
then they could kind of peg him as to what is his God. And then we find that Jonah responds to them and says to them, I am a Hebrew. So right there, what is he actually, is he answering, how many of those questions, there's four questions, is he answering by just simply stating, I am a Hebrew?
Well, he answers at least two, because he says, what people is he from? And connected with that is where they live.
Okay, so because the idea of land and people are connected, right?
Yeah.
Very good. And then he goes on to say, and the Lord God of heaven I fear, the one who made the sea and the dry land. And so how would you describe that confession or that statement to these sailors? Would you say that that was, is that a good thing that he said? Was that a good testimony, a good statement?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I would think it would be a good statement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially because he says he is the God who made the sea and the dry land. And so he's all-encompassing. He's not just the God of this land, or he's the God of this sky or this water. He's the God of everything.
Right, right. And so he is giving glory to the true God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he also mentions this idea that he fears this God. Now, earlier we saw in verse 5 that the sailors are afraid. And the shipmaster is afraid. And they are motivated to do whatever it takes. And they're casting lots. And they interrogate now Jonah. And so one of the things that we're going to run into here is the contrast between Jonah, who, again, what does he say about himself? He says, I am a God-fearer. Okay. I am one who fears God. And in particular, I know this God as the God who created everything.
Mm-hmm.
He's the Lord God, right? So he's the sovereign over everything. He is my Lord. He's my master. And I fear him. I serve him. I believe him. I trust in him. Something like that. And he is the one who created everything.
But does he really mean it?
Yeah, that's the question. So here he makes this, I would say, an orthodox statement, a very good witness concerning who he is, and his identity is not so much the land. He doesn't mention that at this time, but he mentions God. Okay. And yet, from the stories thus far, what do you think of his testimony?
It seems pretty hypocritical.
Okay, the word hypocrite comes to mind. Yes, it's contrary to. He's playing the actor. He says, I am a God-fearer, and if we didn't know anything about 2 Kings, and all we knew was chapter 1, we would say that Jonah is contrary. And so let's go ahead and look at that, the contrast, and that's what we wanted to talk a little bit about. The contrast that we find in verse 10. So now the scene changes, or the camera shifts to these men. Notice they're also called men. No longer are they sailors, but they're simply men. And it says that the men feared a great fear. Okay. So number one, they were afraid, but now they are exceedingly afraid. They have a great fear that they are fearing, is literally. And they say to Jonah, what is this that you have done? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them or he had reported to them. And so Jonah, in verse 9, we hear the statement, I am a God-fearer, and yet everything up to this point in the account is contrary to what he says he is. He's living contrary to his profession of faith, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And yet on the other side of the spectrum, you have these pagan, non-Christian, if you will, men, and they're doing everything in their power to do the right thing and to understand what it is that's going on here. And they fear God. They fear, it says, with a great fear. Their fear is even greater. Why? Because now they understand what's going on here. They understand that the Lord God, creator of heaven and earth, is involved here. And they are scared out of their wits. So they are scared to death.
Yeah.
That they are in great peril. They've been afraid that they are going to perish. And now the full report of what Jonah has done has come into their ears. They know what we know so far. Yes.
Yeah. I wanted to go back to one point that you made earlier in the verse. You said the change from sailors to men. Could you expound on that a little bit just for a second?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things that we're talking about here, too, is we look at compare and contrast. There's a compare and contrast going on between Jonah and the men. But there's also a compare and contrast with Israel or the people of God, the original audience and those that are in the story, and also the Ninevites or the Assyrians in chapter 3. And so there is this kind of picture going on that now with these are no longer sailors, but these are men in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of mankind or a people in a particular location that are in trouble. So the author shifts to, and also I think what the point I think you're looking for is the idea of weakness. To that particular word has the idea of weakness. These are men that are unable to save themselves.
Yeah.
Very good. And so at the same point in time, they're aware of their need. This is a very good thing for them. It's a good thing for us as well to understand our need for a Savior, our need for the grace of God.
So, Dad, I'd like to go back to your first question that you posed at the beginning of the program. And that question was, what kind of witness is my life? Okay, we're talking about Jonah, we're talking about the sailors, but how does it apply to me? How does it apply to our listeners here?
So, how is your life being known and read? What are people hearing through not only your words, but your attitude? We didn't even talk about attitude. Your attitude and your actions. Many times our attitude comes across without even saying a word. They say that 90-some percent of communication is nonverbal. And so what is your attitude? What are people reading? Are people hearing the gospel through your life? Is the grace of God communicated by your life. With Jonah, we see an inconsistency, and I think he specifically is helping us to see it in ourselves as well. Our need for the grace of God, our need for the work of the Holy Spirit to make what we say we believe and what we actually believe to be consistent. And so take some time now to examine yourself, think about this, if need be, even speak to a brother, sister in Christ and say, how is my life being communicating what I truly believe? How consistent is it and how can I change?
And that is our study today in the Word of God here on Thoroughly Equipped with Pastor Mike Wojtek from Rehoboth Reformed Church in La Habra. Along with his son David, Pastor Mike will be back in just a moment with a final thought for the week ahead. First, though, here's a reminder that you can download and print the lesson outline for each week starting on Wednesday by logging on to tefaith.org. That's tefaith.org. Follow along with the outline and keep it in a binder for future reference and study. Also, if you'd like to receive our periodic email newsletter that contains articles, upcoming events, and special offers, or if you'd like to know more about this ministry, about upcoming events, or about Rehoboth Reformed Church in La Habra, log on to tefaith.org. That's tefaith.org. Or call us at 626-820-9390. That's 626-820-9390. And we thank the members and friends of Rehoboth Reformed Church for their sacrificial giving in order to make this program possible. If you would like to join them in providing this blessing for others by supporting this Bible teaching program, visit our website. Lastly, we invite you to join us for worship and even more study of God's Word every Sunday morning at Rehoboth Reformed Church, located at 501 South Idaho Street, Suite 120 in La Habra, California. For more information or directions, visit our website, tefaith.org, or call us at 626-820-9390. That's 626-820-9390. Now, with a final thought for the week, here's Pastor Mike.
So let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we do come before you, and we thank you, Lord, for revealing to Jonah his sin and his need for you, and that you use men like him, even in their sin, to teach us about how we are to live. And so we pray that you would enable us to walk in a manner that would honor and glorify you. We ask for your grace in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today here on Thoroughly Equipped, Drawing Water from the Wells of Salvation, a weekly verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter study of the Bible with Pastor Michael Wojtek from Rehoboth Reformed Church in La Habra, along with his son David. Next week, we'll continue looking at the Word of God. We hope you'll join us. In the meantime, you can learn more about Thoroughly Equipped by logging on to our website, tefaith.org. And if you'd like to write a note to Pastor Mike, you can email it to pastor@tefaith.org. That's pastor@tefaith.org. Remember, God is your salvation. You can trust Him and not be afraid. The Lord is your strength and your song.